This is the Blue of the Night at 12 minutes past 12 o'clock. Carl Corcoran with you until 1, and welcoming you to the inaugural round midnight session. Welcome to the Blue Room, the man who we've featured all this week, the legendary Donal Lunny.
Hi, Carl.
Great to have you here, Donal. Thanks for taking the time.
I'm delighted to be here. It's an honour to be here on the first night of the Blue Room.
Yes, you can say that. You were the first in the blue. It was Steve Cooney that christened it the Blue Room. He was here a couple of years back and he said, this is the Blue Room.
Steve is never short of good ideas.
What a pleasure. We've played material through the week from your vast catalogue of different permutations and combinations throughout your career. I mean, we should perhaps chronologically go back and start in small town in Kildare, or even further.
If you like.
What was the first experience? Was it Emmett Spiceland? Because that's the first one that I became aware of.
Well, that was the first, working band or professional band that I was involved in. And it comprised two brothers, Brian and Mick Byrne, and myself. And before that, I was involved in a couple of bands in Newbridge, a couple of groups, one by the name of the Liffey Siders. And then there was another very brief sort of effort with Christy Moore and my brother Frank. We called ourselves the Rakes of Kildare. Lasted about 3.5 weeks.
Okay.
And went on from there. When I came to Dublin to study art, music, of course, took over my life. Mm-hmm. But Emmett Spiceland started up then.
Right.
And so I was kind of grappling with studying graphic design in the College of Art and
playing
with the Emmett Spiceland.
Because you had an album, and I remember the album produced by Phil Coulter, I believe, right?
Correct, yeah.
And Phil made an appearance on the album too.
He did.
He spoke.
He did. He exceeded his brief enormously.
Lovely album though, had some great ballads on it. So that was the beginning, and from there, what happened? Did you just decide that it was time to move on? And
absolutely that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think, for me, I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing, just involved in music generally. And I was really stimulated by the scene that was happening in Dublin at the time. But the result of being in art college was that I made jewellery for 2 years. I actually made a living of sorts from making jewellery, and I enjoyed it. And straight out of that came Planxty. During the time that I was making jewellery, I was playing with Andy Irvin. Mm-hmm. And as a duo, we ran a club down in Slattery's in Gable Street called the Mug's Gig.
Okay. And, in the basement?
In the basement, yeah. It was a stuffy little place.
That's
but
right.
Great music.
Yeah.
And then when Christy Moore came back singing in folk clubs in England for 5 years, he came back over to make an album, and he contacted Andy and myself and a good bunch of other people, including Liam O'Flynn. And when that album was made, Christy went away and came back and said, well, why don't we make a band? And,
that was it.
That was Planxty.
Wow.
And on from there.
And did you at that stage consider it as something that was going to provide a career or a livelihood, or was this ever the your view of it?
Hard to know. I can't say that I had this grand plan or anything like that. We were in our little boat together, and we were sort of sailing.
Right.
Along the river, through the rapids, whatever, grand, that was it. It was just sort of, I was living my life through that. And it was, we all felt, fortunate that we were able to make a living out of this thing that we loved.
Yeah.
It
was a great scene at the time too, wasn't it? I mean, it was a vibrant scene.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, at the time, the Dubliners were happening. The Chieftains had emerged. Hmm. Clannad was happening. There was a great Jadanan. Who am I leaving out? Anyway, there were great bands around at the time. There was a really vibrant scene in Dublin. There were folk clubs all over the place. Mm. So there were half a dozen serious folk clubs. Right. that were sort of operating every weekend, queues of people to play, let alone get in. You know, it was really a fantastic stamping ground for ideas.
After Planxty came the Bothy Band.
Yep.
Out of Planxty came the Bothy Band.
Well, the Bothy Band sort of sprang. Bothy Band was kind of in existence before I became involved. After Planxty, I became involved in production.
Mm-hmm.
It was a thing I had been interested in from the very beginning. And I remember the late Micheál O'Donnell and his sister Triana contacted me and asked me if I'd play with them in a, I think it was the 25th anniversary thing for Gael Lynn that was happening. And I agreed, and something clicked between us. I mean, it was great. The music was immediately sort of engaging.
Right.
And it went on from there. Micheál and Triana had already been involved in a band called 1691. And there were various, I think that was quite a large band. Tony McMahon was in it. And he was still involved in this situation. Paddy Keenan, you know. I think Tommy Peoples. And I'm actually vague about the earlier history of 1691. But in fact, the Bothy Band emerged from this milieu.
Right.
And I was on board.
Right.
But there was something there already, you know.
Yeah. The traditional music scene was very much part of your upbringing and your family background.
Yep.
But there was also other influences too, was there not? Did you have jazz?
I did.
Exposure, so to speak.
I did. Yeah. I have to say that I wasn't, what would you say, directly conscious of the musical influences that were around me in my family that were coming from my mother and my father. They were both, you know, my mother was like a native Irish speaker. She thought in Irish. She sang songs in Irish. She taught us all Irish as soon as we could speak. And we learned these songs as well.
Right.
And so that was a sort of a background. My father was equally interested in Irish. He wasn't a speaker from birth as such, but he loved it. And I think his Irish became impeccable through contact with my mother. And this was there all the time. Years later, you know, when Emma Spicent was happening and various other things, I couldn't see this. It was too close to me. My family, you know, the whole thing was too close to me. But as time went on, I realised how much of an effect it had on me.
Right.
You know? But as you said, jazz, rock and roll, whatever, all that stuff.
It was all there.
I was soaking all that up as well, and I loved it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did, I received a lot of information from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You did bring a favourite instrument with you tonight, and I'd love to hear a tune if you do that for us.
What the guitar is to the axe, the bouzouki is to the hatchet. So here's the bouzouki, and I'll play a tune that, funny enough, you mentioned Steve earlier on, Steve Cooney, and I just tell you that I wrote this tune, I wrote it on a keyboard, and I wrote it for an album that Moving Hearts is making. It was the instrumental album we made before we broke up in 1985, and I wrote a piece called Tribute to Paddy O'Donnell. Now, I composed that on keyboards. It went straight to Davy Spillane, who kind of breathed like beautiful life into it, playing it on the pipes, and it went on from there. And my role in it after that was accompanying, you know.
Okay.
So when Steve, like, this must be, I suppose, could be 15 years ago, between 10 and 15 years ago, I met Stephen Donegal late one night. He dropped into the house and he said, "Go on, play Paddy O'Donnell." And I realised I had never played it.
Hmm.
And I reluctantly then I did. He kind of kept
there
at
then,
me.
There and then.
I did. Yeah. And I realised that it sat right sort of under the fingers on the board of the bouzouki.
Of the bouzouki.
So here it is again.
Go for it. Wonderful stuff. Donal Lunny and the Hatchet. And Paddy O'Donnell, beautiful air, and a jig.
Yeah.
Name the jig, or is that
It's part of the suite.
Okay.
Paddy O'Donnell. There's more to it than that, even.
Okay.
but I'm not going to have a go at it now.
Okay. Beautiful stuff. Thanks. Live on Lyric. Thank you, Dave, for the text. Dave, sending best wishes to you, Donal, and wanting to know, did you ever want to be a pop star? But you are a pop star. That's the answer to the question. So the jazz influence obviously played into the development of Moving Hearts then. This was obviously the direct, you know, you were reaching back into your own personal taste.
I suppose so, yeah. I mean, I wrote a fair bit of music for Moving Hearts, particularly for that instrumental album. And I suppose there was a lot of stuff bottled up in me, which found a way out at that time, yeah. So,
and everybody signed up for it. You brought musicians into the fold who were obviously into the whole thing because it was groundbreaking at the time.
It's true. I should say, well, I mean, the start of Moving Hearts was really driven by Christy, who immediately enlisted Declan Sinnott, a giant guitarist. But his, if you like, the centre of his influences was in rock music. Mm-hmm. And then there was Owen O'Neill, a sublime bass player. Owen had his own sort of function, like with drums, a thing which I had to learn practically from scratch at the time, you know.
Rock rhythm section.
Yeah, all that, yeah. And, you know, it was quite a handful for me to it was enough for me just to be able to keep up, which I did most of the time. And then at the beginning, there was Brian Callanan, Noel Eccles on percussion. Noel is still on percussion, but these days, in our last performance, Liam Bradley played drums and Graham Henderson played keyboards. I used to play keyboards in the early days.
Right.
The boy Keith Donald on sax and Davy Spillane on pipes. And this was, everybody brought their gifts to the table, you know. So, I mean, for me, I was in heaven in ways because this was, it was a complete torrent of musical influences, which, was teaching me stuff. And I suppose I had my own kind of traditional baggage on board and I was trying to reconcile both, you know, but I was learning a great deal at the same time.
Mm. Yeah. And the Storm, which was really the instrumental side of Moving Hearts, because at this point Christy had parted.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, yeah. We had actually decided to call it a day, and we noticed that we had enough instrumental material to make up an album, to comprise an album, along with the aforementioned tribute to Padraig O'Donnell, which was a commission I got from Galway University to honour the same man.
Right.
And with the addition of that, we had the makings of an album. So we went for it.
Okay. Yeah. You've recently reformed and...
Correct.
I know you had a big gig down in Killarney a couple of years back.
That would have been early last year, yeah.
Last year.
That's right, yeah.
And more recently, the Celtic Connection. You just...
Indeed.
Just flew back from Scotland and...
Yeah.
Boy, are your arms tired, as they say.
Oh, it was great. We had a gig at the weekend in the old fruit market in Glasgow.
Beautiful.
And it was lovely, yeah. It was great. A happy crowd and, you know, they were up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is in anticipation of the big event in the Olympia Theatre this coming Friday.
That's true. Yeah. So we're looking forward to that.
And who's in the lineup for that?
Well, as I said, there's Davy and Keith. We'll have the bowled Martin O'Connor with us, which is always a pleasure. Owen O'Neill on bass. We'll have the redoubtable Jimmy Smith on guitar.
Oh, excellent. Oh,
yeah, right. Jimmy played with us in Glasgow and it's the first time we've played together in Moving Hearts. Jimmy's
phenomenal.
A monster.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And Graham on keyboards, Graham Henderson, Liam Bradley on drums, Noel Eccles on percussion, Owen O'Neill on bass.
Dynamite. It'll be a powerhouse.
Way, hey.
Powerhouse. Moving Hearts, then let's move to other elements of your musical experience. And that's probably the East meeting West in the form of Mosaic.
Oh, yeah.
Which again is a... a different direction for you, isn't it?
It certainly is. And Andy Irvin has to answer for that one. It's all his fault.
The common denominator.
Yeah, yeah. Andy. Well, you know, Andy introduced me to East European music way back before Planks deformed, the Yonks back. And he never lost touch with that. And indeed, he sort of planted the seed in me. And I've always been interested in music with so funny time signatures and that. So that's always been there. And Andy, back in the 80s, formed for the first time, formed Mosaic. And it had a different lineup to the present day one. At that time, we had Marta Sebastian.
Great singer, yeah. No, a
wonderful singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bulgarian singer. And she was something else to have in the band. We had Lisa from Denmark. We had Hans Tiesink, a man from Holland who living in Vienna. I mean, talk about, you know, cosmopolitan. Mm. I mean, or pan, what, European?
Mm. Certainly pan-European, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've expanded it now with the American influence of Bruce Molsky.
And he's set out to find people who could live. How far apart can people live? It's like the carbon footprint is like. We won't talk about it. Anyway, yeah, we have Bruce Molsky living in New York. Rens van der Zalm in Rotterdam. Nikola Parov in Budapest. Andy in God knows where.
Yeah, many places.
Yeah, Patagonia, Japan, Fermanagh. And myself, well, I'm here. But anyway, it's a bit of a struggle getting us all together. But we have managed to get together every couple of years and do a tour. And last August, we put down the best part of an album in Budapest.
Okay.
So that'll come out sometime soon.
This is a follow-up. The original one was Changing Trains.
Yeah.
Great album. While we're on this subject, maybe you could play something with an Eastern European flavour just to show the versatility of the inspiration.
Yes, okay. So this one I learned from Andy, of course, and we play a version of it in Mosaic. I'll play a more relaxed version of it here.
Okay.
Because I've nothing to hide behind. This is called Sulemanovo Horo, and it's, if you like, excerpts, right.
In keeping with the cross-cultural content of The Blue of the Night, Donal Lunny displaying his Eastern influence, Eastern Kildare, maybe. Dave and Rathmines enjoying the music. Steve sends a message that says, "The Old Point, Moving Hearts, what a gig."
Hey.
You remember it? Many of them. You just keep going, Donal. I mean, there's never a dull moment, never a time that you stop. You're performing in various combinations and permutations. LAPD, Triad is another ensemble you're in. I mean,
that's
it,
right.
It goes on and on.
In the Temple Bar Trad Fest on Saturday night, actually, and we're playing on the same stage as Dervish and Lunasen.
That's the big one in the cathedral, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah.
Lovely.
So we'll have the crack.
Great stuff.
That's with Poise Grin and Sylvain Barou in Triad. Yeah.
And then you also work with Zoe Conway and
Martin O'Connor.
Martin O'Connor.
Yeah, yeah. Two dotes, two delightful people. I love playing with them.
These are obviously musicians that you want to play with, and you find your expression with them.
That's right, yeah.
What about production work? Is there much going on in that field these days?
It's surprising. I mean, it comes and goes, but I'm ticking over in that regard. At the moment, I'm working with Sandra Joyce down in Limerick University. Okay. You know Sandra?
Yeah, I know Sandra. Yeah.
In fact, Limerick University was the place where I met you first, Carol, and it was at the Bloss Summer School.
That's right. Well, I was going to say to our listeners that you have moved into academia now, and it'll probably soon be Dr. Lunny, will it?
Daughter Lunny.
I had the great pleasure of being director of the Bloss Summer School for a couple of years, and I think one of the best decisions I made was to incorporate the talents of Donal Lunny into the school,
much.
And you're doing it since, I believe.
That was a flying start, and I have to say I love being in the university down there in the World Music Centre.
Right.
It's a great atmosphere, and it's very positive. It has been presided over by Micheál Ó Sulaimán, and I think his influence has been benign and creative and very, very enthusiastic. So he has given the thing the best start it could possibly
absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely. And a magnificent location now in the Taj Mahal. As they
that's
say,
right.
The
yeah.
Magnificent building there. So you're producing an album with Sandra?
Yeah, Sandra Joyce, who teaches singing there.
Okay.
And she's faculty head. And I know Sandra from going there for years. And so we're halfway through. I had hoped to have something to play, but I'm afraid we haven't advanced it that far yet. But not to worry.
Well, as soon as you have it, we'll have it.
Right. Thank you. Okay.
On the subject of production, then, you had brought a couple of pieces with you, a couple of CDs with you to share. And one of the pieces features a singer from the Faroe Islands that I was fascinated with.
Yes.
Tell me
right.
just a little bit about Ivor, is it?
Ivor, that's right, yeah. Who I met for the first time when I put together a sort of an Icelandic-Irish music collaboration for the Reykjavik Arts Festival.
Wow.
Way back, I think that was 03, I'm not sure. It was around then or 04. And Ivor was actually on board, even though she's from the Faroe Islands. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's still, if you like, qualified in a sort of an honorary way to be part of the Icelandic ensemble.
Okay.
And she has a stunning voice and she has beautiful energy. She's a great person to have on stage. And on that trip, the Bold Marching was on that trip, and Roisin El Safdie and I think Nolly Casey was there. Cora was there. It was a brilliant outing, a brilliant excursion. And a couple of years after that, Ivor contacted me and asked me would I produce an album for her, and she came to Dublin to do it and gave it the works.
So Irish musicians involved in the...
Yes, indeed, yeah. And we recorded down in Windmill Lane.
Let's give a listen. Don Lunny, the producer of Ivor, singer from the Faroe Islands, and a track that's translated as Do Not Weep. I daren't try the Faroese pronunciation. No. I'm not the best.
Grant.
Thanks very much.
Grant.
Now, you brought a couple of albums with you tonight to share with the listeners. We're not going to get to all of the choices, and there's some great choices on it. There's Irish singer-songwriter Laura Sheeran, who we've featured on The Blue already a couple of times, but I do want to get to your choice at some point over the next few nights. We may not be doing it tonight. And the other one that I really want to get to is Weather Report, because this is the left side of Don Lunny, is it?
Well, yeah, I always loved that band. They sort of had their own, they created their own little sort of independent country of music.
Yeah.
You know, it's a place like instantly recognisable and just feels like another place.
Yeah.
They're in another place.
Speaking of another place and another country musically, one of your colleagues in Moving Hearts has a new album out himself.
Correct.
Spillane, yeah.
The Bowl Davy, yeah, that's right. And it's lovely. I haven't heard all of it yet, but what I've heard of it, I think it's beautiful. He's a master.
Brand new album from Davy Spillane. The album is called Between Longing and Belonging, and the track there, In the Deep Heart's Core. The album is literally hot off the press.
That's right.
The ink is
still
wet.
It's lovely.
And is available on his website, davyspillane.com. You can tell him now when you meet up with him on Friday in the Olympia, you can tell him that it got its inaugural performance on the Blue of the night.
Excellent, yeah.
What else is happening in the world of Don Lunny?
Well, another gig that's coming up fairly soon that I think is worth mentioning is on the 12th of February, I'll be in the Samuel Beckett Theatre with LE4, which is the Leitrim Equation 4. This is an effort that's been going for the last, I think, 6 years or so. I've been involved for the last 4 years.
Okay. Lunasa were involved in some
they
point,
were the
yeah.
first
Crawford.
Sort of anchor band in it. That was followed by Dervish. Then 4 years ago, I got involved along with John Carty and Seamus Begley as the sort of the centre band. And it involved lots of musicians around Leitrim, and we toured Leitrim, and Maureen Carty, who organises the thing for Leitrim County Council, mentioned that this venture had visited every single school in Leitrim, which is fantastic. Wow. I mean, it's Leitrim promoting its own music.
Right.
And it's actually
and
working.
And there's such a wealth of music in,
that's
in the
right,
region.
That's right, yeah. Anyway. So in the present inception, Vincent Wood's poetry is involved, Eleanor Shanley's singing, Padraig McGovern, brilliant piper, Dave Sheridan playing flute, John McCartan on guitar, and I'm there on the hatchet. And Edwina Guckian, a fantastic dancer as well. Okay. So it's a brilliant entertainment. So it's a lovely evening.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
You're never a dull moment. You're never and never sit still either. It's quite remarkable.
Wow.
I'm going to go with the weather report because
I want to
enjoy the lunny choices on the blue of the night, and this was one that you brought with you, and it's worth a shot. '80 was the year. The album was Night Passage. Weather report. With the familiar strains of Wayne Shorter on sax, Joseph Zawinul on the keyboards, and Jaco Pastorius on bass, and Peter Erskine on the drums. A personal and favourite choice of our guest for the evening, Donal Lunny, who has been with me in the Blue Room. What a pleasure to have had your company and your music. Thank you so much for that.
And my pleasure too. Thank you, Carl.
Nice message from John. John is a regular listener to The Blue of Tonight. John Harold, listening in Galway and enjoying the company and enjoying hearing Donal on air. You know John?
Hi, how are you, John? Good stuff. Good to hear from you.
Great. Nikki in Westmeath, the master at work. A truly wonderful evening of pure music. Thanks a million for that. And a very enjoyable program. Donal is a superb musician. Long may he continue. That's from Tony. They're out
Thank
there,
you.
Even at this hour of the night.
Thank you.
So, Temple Bar Tradfest this weekend. You're in the Olympia Theatre on Friday night with yep. Moving Hearts. And then on Sunday night, is it Sunday you're in the...
Tradfest?
The Tradfest, yeah.
I think it's Saturday night. Saturday night in Dublin Castle.
On Dublin Castle.
I think it is, yeah.
Okay. Well, all the information is on the web.
Yeah, they'll put you right.
They will. Donal, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much and the best of luck. We're looking forward to a return visit to the Blue Room sometime in the near future.
I really hope so. Thanks, Carl.
My pleasure. I'll be back tomorrow at 10, or tonight at 10 o'clock for Thursday's Blue. We'll have a chance to play a couple more tunes featuring our featured artist of the week, Donal Lunny. On disc at least, won't be live, but it'll be on disc, and a few more of his personal choices that he's left with us. From me, Carl Corkin, have a great Thursday. Coming up next on Lyric, it's Lyric Through the Night. That'll bring you all the way to 7 o'clock when Marty will put a smile on your face with Marty in the morning. Thanks for your company.